Tommy, what was your favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn?
Honestly, Greg, I went as Raymond Stantz from the Ghostbusters to the Howler in like 2007.
Really?
And Ghostbusters is my favorite movie of all time. Love the Ray Parker Jr. song. So your son is a smart young man for liking it. And Halloween is a great time of year, but we went as the Ghostbusters to Halloween, and it was at the Howler, and it was so good. And yeah. I have tons of pictures, and we built proton packs, and one of my buddies is an electrician, and he did LED lights. It was people. I had a guy offer me in the bathroom. He looked at my costume. He's like, "I'll give you $200 for that costume right now." And I was like, "No thanks."
So you made the costume, or you bought it?
We made it.
So do you still have it?
The proton pack, it completely fell apart because, like, we used whatever we could find at one of the, hardware stores around town, and it lasted, like, 5 or 6 years, but I still have, like, the jumpsuit.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The Edmonton Oilers, we talked about it a lot yesterday. Go to the net. Jujhar Khaira gets rewarded. Going to the net, and obviously massive relief on his face. You could tell right after he scored. You see the excitement on the bench from teammates. They all know what those guys have gone through, not scoring a goal. And, their power play got them going on Mike Smith starting the play, Neil finishing the play, and then Leon Draisaitl buries home two more. Kind of a ho-hum. Here's another 3 points for Leon Draisaitl, and he finishes obviously the best month of his NHL career. And really, it's I don't even know if it's that much of a surprise, considering Leon Draisaitl since January 1st leads the NHL in scoring with 40 goals and 81 points.
It's insane. And a couple things about that game last night too, Greg, is like they seemed more calm and poised in most situations, which was kind of how they looked in the first week or two of the season, in my opinion. And I thought that was a big thing that was key to it. They were a lot smarter than they were with breakout passes and outlet plays than they were the night before in Detroit, which to me is, like, I looked at Matt Cassian today when I saw him, and I was like, Cass, where was that? Yes, like, on the other night in Detroit. Why couldn't they play that same type of game in Detroit? But they pulled it together yesterday, which was another good sign. And, Draisaitl ho-hum 3 points, leads the league in scoring. Someone texted in on the post game show and suggested that Draisaitl's a better player than McDavid now. And I was like, whoa, we got to tap the brakes here. But you can't take away from what Leon's been able to do thus far this season. And another thing I think was the defense was steady. And I don't know if it had a lot to do with Joel Pearson coming back and then just bringing some stability. You know, Chris Russell slides back down to the third pair on his left side. Harrison's in there with Klefbom. Outside of Klefbom, who played 27 minutes, 7 of those on power play. Everyone was kind of in that 15 to 20 minute range. So to me, it seemed like everything was more in rhythm, is how I would sum up that game. And the result was the 4-1 win.
Tom Gazzola joins. Well, yeah, if they could play that game every night, they'd be in first place, right? So that's the reason why they don't play that game every night, because, very few teams that can do it. To me, the positive was it was on the second night of back-to-back, and they absolutely dominated the first period, right? Because if you could just look at shot attempts, everything, they got 3 power plays. Now, sure, the second one, I think, was probably, a benefit to the Edmonton Oilers. They got a call their way, but, the other two were clear penalties. And then you get a power play goal, and essentially, it's not a power play goal for Draisaitl, but it's right after the power play. So, your special teams got it done. And really, Mike Smith didn't have to be great. He just had to be steady. And the Oilers, their defensive system all year long, like, you take away the Philadelphia game, and the Oilers are averaging 28 shots against. So, that's kind of the outlier. They've had 13 games where they're only averaging 28 shots against. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, and my big question was, why wasn't that first period what we saw the other night in Detroit? Like, especially against a completely vulnerable Detroit team. Listen, 9-4-1, probably not complaining about it. You're not going to hear a lot of people around here complaining about it. That's a solid start to the season. They put themselves in a great spot. But, I'm glad that they cleaned up some of that stuff last night. But a good team has the ability to do that against you know, weaker opponents, if you will, like a Detroit. So that's one thing that I'll be keeping an eye on to see if the Oilers can find a way to have that type of game in the games that they're supposed to.
Yeah, well, you're not going to do it every night. And I think Detroit was, you know, they'd losers of eight in a row, a pretty desperate team. So they, you know, they'll even the bad teams, hey, the Oilers won 30 games and they sucked for many years. So even the bad teams are going to find ways to win. I think the one thing people have to remember about Connor McDavid is a few things. Because people are like, well, maybe his knee's fine. But when you spend all summer and you don't get to train, he's not going to have the McDavid turbo jets all the time. And he probably might not all year long, because most of your best gains are made in the summer, even for the elite of the elite. And we saw it against Washington. McDavid can still turn it on for times. But, you know, I'm not going to go that Leon Draisaitl's better than McDavid, because they're actually very different players. They attack the game in much different ways. Draisaitl can slow it down a little bit, where McDavid just beats you with flat out speed and, you know, puts the fear of God into a lot of defenders just with his speed. And so I just think it's a fantastic 1-2 punch. The one thing that maybe people don't notice, because I hear a lot of people outside of Edmonton, you know, well, he's not a centerman. If they watch the games closely, look in the defensive zone more often than not, who's doing the center responsibilities, and it's Draisaitl. They switch a little bit, but wisely, you know, just like when the Gretzky played, and Jari Kurri used to do a lot of the defensive stuff in the middle of the ice, and he would be ideally, you want McDavid, if you're in the defensive zone, and let's say the puck's on the right boards defensively, you want McDavid on the other side. So if you, and you know, sure, he can cover his man, but if you get a turnover, now you flip it up and you've got McDavid gone. That, to me, it's a good strategy to use. I don't mind it at all with his ability. So now they don't do it all the time. Sometimes McDavid's the first guy back. Obviously, he's got to take those responsibilities. But when you watch the shifts in the games closely, you know, it's probably at lowest a 50-50 split, and maybe even 60-40 for Draisaitl doing the center iceman responsibilities in the D zone.
Yeah, and Leon, I mean, look who was out there for that minute 47 PK on the 5-on-3. It was Leon. And he's excellent on draws. He's been steady that way. So this is, again, the versatility, that's a good problem to have. And then on top of that, with those two, like, I understand, you know, McDavid elevates those around him, but there's people that make the argument that without Connor, Leon wouldn't be the player that he is. But I think Leon has a certain ability to read off of Connor, and that's where you get that connection. And like, I'm not saying it's Gretzky Curry, but at least there's like a mutual understanding, and they benefit from one another as well. But to, you know, the guy that suggested that McDavid isn't as good as Draisaitl, I was like, come on, tap the brakes on that. We're not there. You're talking about a two-time Art Ross Trophy winner and a Hart Trophy winner here.
Yeah, I will say this about Leon Draisaitl, though. And I saw it last year, and I think any mention that Leon Draisaitl isn't his own player and isn't in the definitely the top 10 in the NHL and probably the top 5 conversation is people that just don't want to let go of past. Because the reality is Leon Draisaitl is not only great offensively, you know what, he does a lot of things in all three zones right now. He's playing the most minutes of any forward in the NHL. And, you know, people can debate all they want. If, you know, that number will eventually come down when other guys start chipping in a little bit, I think, for sure. But you know, Leon Draisaitl's, you know, big body, thicker body. He can handle a few extra minutes. He's a young man, just turned 24. So I'm very curious to see what this season holds for Draisaitl. Like 50 goals is hard to do back-to-back. Not saying he's not capable of it, but you know, I think 100 points, barring injury, is almost a guarantee, I believe, for Leon Draisaitl at this point. And you know what? I think there's a very good chance he sets a career high in points.
You know what? And here's the other thing, too, is like, I know he's ascending, and I'm with you on him, you know, creeping into that top five in the league right now. And even if he had an 80 to 90 point season, I'd be like, and 40 goals, I'd be like, that's an excellent season. You know, that's, I wouldn't even say that would be a step back. And for him, like, it's, I was curious to see if he could maintain that climb that he's steadily been able to do throughout his early career. And thus far, I mean, he's far exceeding, you know, any expectations. I mean, expectations were high to begin with this season after what he did last year, but to be even pushing the needle further at this point is quite impressive. So nothing to be taken away from the way Leon's played this year.
Tom Fajardo has injured his back. So game time decision against the Eskimos. We know that Trevor Harris is not going to play for the green and gold. We know there's a lot on the line for Saskatchewan. Like, I still think there's some stuff on the line for the Eskimos. Like, you can't just, you know, throw the game by any stretch of the imagination. Like, if anything, because if you try to lollygag it through a game, that's when injuries occur. I think the Eskimos defensively would like to go into that game and tighten some things up.
That's fair. And, you know, what's weird is, like, Calgary's cheering for the Eskimos this weekend. But here's the other thing, too, is, okay, so Harris is sitting. And they want him to be as close to 100% or as healthy as can be for that game in Montreal. I get that. But now you get Kilgore some more reps, because what if Harris goes down in that Montreal game? You have a backup that's ready, that's been active recently. And if he can have a decent game in Saskatchewan, he's going to. He doesn't feel like he's out of rhythm. So I'm with you there. Defensively, get things going, and if the offense can continue to churn some points out, that'll be fine. I think you just want a good effort. The win, ultimately, obviously, but if you want some good signs pointed in the right direction and getting some kind of momentum, Greg, against Saskatchewan going into Montreal, then I think that's arrow up, and that would be the ideal situation.
Tommy, have yourself a good one. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg.
Are you doing a Halloween party tonight?
No. I'm lame.
Okay. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll come over to your place and eat full candy bars.
Oh, buddy, I got a big selection of them. Big selection. The kids are going to have a tough choice tonight. Tough choice.
Those are the best houses, the ones with the full bars, always.
Yeah. I've made it a tradition a long time ago. Now it's a little bit more costly, I will admit. I didn't think I would live in a neighborhood with this many kids, but hey, it's one day a year, so save up and it's all good. So
for the kids.